Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In a parable, Jesus taught the disciples how rewards are handed out in the kingdom of God. At first glance, what he taught doesn't seem right. Today, a look at the words of Jesus for life-changing truth that upends our innate sense of fairness. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. And today, we turn to Matthew chapter 20 for a lesson on getting rewards right.
I think it would be true to say that our society is obsessed with fairness. But actually, the desire to be fair is inborn in every human heart. Those of us who have had children know that if you're going to share a cookie with them, or if two children have to share the same cookie, you had better cut it right down the middle so that it is fair. They'll look at it and they'll say, "Is this fair? Is this side bigger than the other?" Now, just imagine what it is like when you work for an organization, as many of you I'm sure do, and you feel that the pay scale is unfair. I remember a baggage handler at O'Hare with whom I was speaking because we had a suitcase that was late and all those things. He was complaining to me about the fact that those who were in his particular department and those who were the head of the airline, he did some investigation and discovered how much they were being paid, and it seemed to be so unfair in comparison to what he was being paid. He said, "There they are in beautiful offices doing virtually nothing," and he said, "Look at their pay scale." And he was angry because life is unfair. Or think of the situation in which you do as much work as somebody else and you get paid less per hour. And of course, that is an issue that women have often spoken about and have tried to change the way in which employers and employees work together. And the whole issue behind it is it fair? Now, I think it's wonderful to work toward fairness, but I need to tell you today that if you insist on fairness, if fairness has become your idol, you will be angry, you will be filled with envy, and you will even be angry with God because life isn't fair. Jesus told a story which, when you read it for the first time, it seems as if he is condoning unfairness. I remember reading it as a child and wondered what in the world Jesus was teaching, because you read this parable and it seems as if he's saying it's okay to be unfair. Jesus in this parable is not giving us a blueprint for how to run a company. But what he is doing is he's after something else, and the parable that at first seems to be a parable that condones unfairness turns out to be life-changing if we understand its implications and its teachings. The parable is found in the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20. But we must understand the context of this parable. Jesus, in the previous chapter, talked to a young ruler who asked what he would have to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. What would I have to do to rule with you is really what he was asking. And Jesus said, "Well, sell everything that you have and then come and follow me, and you'll be able to have that eternal life that you're seeking." Of course, that is not the gospel. The gospel is that eternal life is free. Jesus here is talking about something else that has to do with the offer of the kingdom of heaven and what it would take to be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. But then Peter hears this discussion, and Jesus said it is difficult for a rich man to be saved. Difficult because oftentimes rich people depend upon their money. And so this generates some discussion, and Peter, being the most American of the apostles, says in verse 27, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Now, Jesus didn't rebuke him for asking that. It's okay to ask that question. But Jesus is going to shed some light on this whole business of rewards, and what he's going to say is transforming indeed. But Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, in the regeneration, when the world is restored and the kingdom is set up, the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's to the apostles. And then here's a promise to all of us, verse 29 of chapter 19. "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." That is to say, life and position in the kingdom. "But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." And now comes the parable. Hope that you're able to follow along in the Bible that is there in the back of the seat in front of you. It's actually page 825. Let's go through this together and see what Jesus teaches about, quote, fairness. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning." That's 6 o'clock in the morning. He goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. The grape harvest actually begins to ripen and needs to be taken off as a crop in the end of September. And after that, rain begins. So he goes to a labor exchange board where there are people who gather every morning to see whether or not they could get a job for that day, day laborers. And he negotiates, the scripture says, verse 2, "After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day," which is a good wage, "he sent them into his vineyard. And going about out the third hour," that's 9 in the morning, "he saw others standing in the marketplace and said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I'll give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour would be noon, the ninth hour is 3 in the afternoon, he did the same. And about the 11th hour," we're talking here at 5 in the afternoon, "he went out and found others standing and said, 'Why do you stand here idle?' And they said, 'Because nobody has hired us.' He said, 'You go into the vineyard.' And they went into the vineyard. But now the day ends, it's 6 o'clock and it's time to be paid. And now the intrigue begins. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.'" Now that in itself is a great change. Wouldn't you pay the people who came at 9 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning first? Why pay the people who came at 5 o'clock first? And then notice, it even gets twistier. If there's a word like that, if not, I think there is now. You'll notice he says, "And when those who had been hired at the 11th hour," that's 5 in the afternoon, "came," shock, "each of them received a denarius, a full day's wage." Wow. "Now when those who were hired first," the 6 o'clock people, 6 in the morning, "they thought that they would receive more, because after all, the man who worked only 1 hour gets a full day's wage. He's leaving the area to run home to his wife and says, 'Mamma mia, we're going to be able to have some steaks tonight. Look at what this landowner gave me, a full day's wage for 1 hour's work.' So those who come at 6 o'clock, they think that they should receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they did what often happens when employers ask employees for a meeting to discuss their wages. They grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat and the scorching heat of the day. It ain't fair.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go, and I choose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you begrudging my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. The question is, how do we interpret this parable? Number one, there are those who say, oh, the denarius is salvation. And at the end, whether you get saved late in life, whether you get saved early in life, doesn't matter. Everybody gets to heaven. Well, it is true that whether you're saved early in life or late, everybody gets to heaven. But I can't believe that this denarius is the ticket to heaven, that it's salvation. For one thing, we don't work for our salvation. For another thing, I can't imagine waking up in eternity and begrudging the fact that there are some people there whom we think shouldn't be there. Have you ever thought in heaven, are you going to say to Jesus, Jesus, I can't believe that he made it over there. No, you know what that guy will be saying? I can't believe that he made it into heaven. None of that. I don't think that it's salvation. There are those who say, well, what it really means is that in the end, no matter how long you serve, whether you're faithful or unfaithful, you're going to get the same reward. I don't buy that at all. I think the Bible is very clear that we're going to be judged very thoroughly. Years ago, I preached a series of messages on that, and that this thorough judgment is going to show that some people are going to be rewarded above other people. And they are going to be given more responsibility in the kingdom because of faithfulness or lack thereof. And those who weren't faithful are not going to receive the same reward. Everybody in heaven happy, everybody contributing to the glory of God. But like a chandelier, some bulbs burning more brightly. It's not true that we're all going to be rewarded the same. Some people say, well, the only way to look at it is to think that the folks who came at 5 o'clock, they worked so hard, they did as much work as those who showed up at 6 in the morning. There's no evidence in the text that that's true. In fact, when those who came at 6 o'clock in the morning complained and said, we have borne the scorching heat of the day, the master didn't correct them and say, no, you're just a bunch of lazy people who didn't do anything all day. No, they worked hard. How then to interpret? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Most assuredly, you're going to have to listen to Running to Win next time to find out the interpretation of this parable. It has to do with rewards that God gives for faithfulness. What lessons that are transforming for us. I want to thank the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner, someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts? I hope you have an opportunity to write this down. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button and you'll receive more info. Or if you prefer, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer and Getting Rewards Right, another in a series on You Can't Redo Life. So the landowner could pay whatever he wanted, since each man got what was promised. Next time, we'll see how this parable should be interpreted. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.